Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 14, and you can find this on page 895 in your pew Bible. It reads, "Nobody should deceive you with stupid ideas. God's anger comes down on those who are disobedient because of this kind of thing. So you shouldn't have anything to do with them. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live your life as children of light. Light produces fruit that consists of every sort of goodness, justice, and truth. Therefore, test everything to see what's pleasing to the Lord. And don't participate in the unfruitful actions of darkness. Instead, you should reveal the truth about them. It's embarrassing to even talk about what certain persons do in secret. But everything exposed to the light is revealed by the light. Everything that is revealed by the light is light. Therefore, it says, 'Wake up, sleeper, get up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Thus ends the reading.
When I was a kid, which seems like forever ago, I remember a story about Rip Van Winkle. Does anybody remember the story of Rip Van Winkle? How many of you had to suffer through reading that in literature class as a kid? So you're probably the only one that really knows the whole true stories, right? Those that you actually read it. Rip Van Winkle was kind of a dark story. It was kind of really sad. It was, just a couple little facts for you. Rip Van Winkle was written by Washington Irving on June of 1818. The story was based on English folklore and retold with an American flair. Rip Van Winkle was a simple-minded soul who lived in a little village at the foot of the Catskill Mountains. A village filled with quaint little shops and warm, inviting homes. Rip was a married man. We cannot say that he was a happily married man. Years ago, they would have referred to him as Wimpy. Irving stated in his story that Rip would have crossed an angry bear, then wrestle with his wife. Rip and I are kind of like the same guy, I think. I don't know. Rip one day decided to go hunting. Now, here's where the story kind of takes a dark twist. Rip decided to go hunting, and as he met up with a friend, they decided it was time to start drinking. Guns and alcohol, that mixes. That sounds like some of my relatives. Rip got drunk. They didn't tell you that in school when you was learning the nursery rhyme, now did they? And he sat down by a tree and he went to sleep. Nowadays, we'd have said he blacked out. He was out. He was so out, he was out for 20 years. And the world changed around him. Now, if you read the whole little short story as years ago, you will learn these things. No one recognized him when he returned to the village. No one. They didn't mention in the little nursery rhyme when we learned about Rip Van Winkle that he had kids. And his kids didn't know who he was. They didn't mention that his wife died. Well, she did. Didn't mention that the village changed where he was at the Catskill Mountains to become a metropolitan area, and the quaint little homes were now destroyed to big majestic mansions. My thought is, did anybody walk around in the woods and see this guy laying next to a tree and say, "Hey, why don't you get up and get him out of his stupor?" No one. He slept through it. He slept through everything that changed. Same thing happens in our Christian life, right? We snooze, we lose. We snooze right through some of the greatest things in the world. Anybody here afraid of storms? Nobody? Go put your hand. I see you. My mother was so terrified of storms that if they, we lived in southern Indiana, and if they predicted a storm in Kansas, my mom ushered us boys to the basements, carrying our mattresses on our backs, not so we could have rest, but so when the house collapsed in on us, now I thought about that one. When the house fell in on us, you'd have a mattress on top of it. Wouldn't it be better to be upstairs than in the basement, Mom? But she was so terrified of those storms that Mom missed the beauty of the lightning. Anybody ever step back and watch the lightning and thought about the power that's there? Now, Carney, we know you know all about the power of lightning. And it's not the white lightning. It's the normal lightning. It's that, you probably know about the white lightning too, but that's because where you're from. But lightning has got so much energy into it. And when it hits, it just, and it shakes things, and it jars your heart a little bit, don't it? And then when you start seeing that lightning crack all over the place, and your heart starts to build up, and the energy inside you, you're like, whoa, this is intense. This is something here. And then if the wind adds into it, then you get nervous, don't you? Now, you're probably already nervous, but, you know, then you get those that they like to run over to the window, and they can't see anything. And then the lightning cracks, and you watch them take that, and they step back so quick because the lightning's getting them. And then you hear that old lie that, well, as long as you're in the house, you're safe. Well, scientists have proven that's not true. So, what's there to be afraid of? Because God's protecting you. So, why not enjoy the beauty? Right? Enjoy the beauty. How many of you like to spend a summer afternoon sitting and listening to the rain as it just hits the ground? That's so neat. It's relaxing, right? I get some of my best naps in during rain. It's soothing. Just to hear it just cascading down. But you let it come like we had the other day. And you let it be torrential rains. People begin to become nervous. Right? We get worried about what's this power behind all this water. But we don't realize that water that's replenishing us is there to save us. Because all the water that we see hitting the ground that we're so terrified of is being soaked down into our aquifer. And that's what's keeping us all alive. Try stop drinking water. Any liquid, any time. You won't last very long. Life will start to change for you. And you'll start missing things. Today's scripture, we're talking about snoozing. Snoozing through things. And God's telling us that we need to really wake up. It says we need to test things. And venture out. Check out what's out there. See what's all about. You know, anybody here ever thought about testing God? Testing His scriptures to see if they come true? They do. All the way through. Something we really need to realize is the Bible is the living word of the risen Savior. The living word, not the asleep word. Genesis 1. 1-4 says this. When God began to create the heavens and the earth, which was without shape or form, it was dark over the deep sea, and God's winds swept over the waters. God said, "Let there be light." And so light appeared. God saw how good the light was. God separated the light from the darkness. God separated the light from the darkness. When you're asleep, you see darkness. Do you not? When you lay down at night in your bedroom, and I'm not talking with the TV on, Lindy, to help you go to sleep. When you lay down in your bedroom at night and you have the windows closed and everything's dark and you close your eyes, you are in darkness. Complete darkness. But inside your heart, your soul lives the light of the Son of the risen Savior. You get to experience that light with such greatness. So when you wake up the next morning and the storms of the night have passed, have you thought about that? The storms that we experience at night, those probably really freak you out, don't they, Kelly? The storms at night where you can't see what's coming at you. A lot of people have that apprehension. We don't like that. We don't like to see what's not coming at us. We want to experience it firsthand. And when you experience it, you feel like you have control, when really you don't. You don't have any more control in the dark than you do in the light, right? But God's there each time. So when you're asleep, you're missing things. You're missing things, right? Have you ever, I know you have, Sam, you've been on a bus going somewhere to an athletic event, right? Another town somewhere. And somebody always falls asleep on that bus, don't they? Invariably somebody falls asleep. Now, if you're not the first guy to fall asleep, what's everybody else do? Always mess with that guy. If there's a Sharpie around, somebody's going to have eyebrows drawn on them. They're going to have scars. They're going to have something drawn on them. You always mess with that guy that goes to sleep because he's missing the party that's going on around him. Because everybody's still having fun. But he needed the rest, so he went to sleep. We need the rest in our lives to go to sleep, and we need to recover from that rest to experience the light, because when the light comes up the next morning, we can just really get up and we can really celebrate everything that God's got for us. And I look at Rip Van Winkle, and this is kind of, you know, we preachers, we have a weird mind about us. We see things and then we think about something else. You know, and I'm sitting here thinking back to our men's breakfast this morning, and they were talking about a certain person who's wearing a Hawaiian shirt sitting behind Ron Boobin in front of Bob. I won't mention his name. Mentioned today that he doesn't like sitting out here in the seats because at certain times when I pass in a certain area, usually about this spot here, there's a certain glare that hits him. And I tried to tell him that it was the light of Christ shining off my forehead and reflecting on him. As I walked by Ian over here just a minute ago, I caught the same glare. So we have found Jesus. He's here. But as we look at the preachers, we have a weird mind. And we see how we can tie things together with Scripture with Rip Van Winkle. And we look at Rip Van Winkle and we know the basic story about him. And we know how he went to sleep. And we experience how he went to sleep. When Rip Van Winkle fell asleep, the world was one way. When he woke up, the world was another way. Same in our Christian life. Not all of us in this room were born into faith. Not all of us were raised by parents who introduced us to Christ. Not all of us was brought into a church to Sunday school that starts at 9 o'clock now after the September 7th. Not all of us got to experience that. But when we did get to experience it, as we came to see the light, we got excited about that story. And we wanted to run and we wanted to tell people. Because we lived in the darkness once before, we're now in the light. And when we're in the light, we want to share what we experience. Has anybody went to a good movie lately? What'd you see? If I Stay. Oh, was it good? Did you? Terrible ending, but it was a good movie though, right? Sam and I are just going to talk about the movie here real quick. Who starred in it?
Your name is like Grace Moretz.
Oh, notice he pointed out the girl in the movie. He didn't point out any guy that was in the movie. He pointed out the girl. That's what I would do. But you wanted to tell somebody about that, right? And on your drive from where did you go? Galesburg? Moline. From Moline all the way back home. You talked about that movie though, didn't you? You rehashed it in your mind, right? Something exciting. You probably came home and you probably told Annie all about it, right? You needed to wake up. You missed it. That explains the eyebrows. But magic marker and things. But as you think about it, he wanted to share that. Have you read a good book lately? If you read a good book, you always want to tell somebody that story, don't you? Same thing happens when your Christian life. When you first experienced Christ, you wanted to go tell everybody all about it. And somewhere along the way, we fell asleep. We stopped going around telling people about it. People just automatically consider you the preacher at work. I got hard times in my life. Let me come talk to the preacher at work. Or in Eddie's case, a young man that he met on a job site, he shared the story of Christ with him, invited him to church. First time the man really been introduced to God. And now he stands in a pulpit today preaching and teaching and leading people because the energy and the excitement was there because he woke somebody up. Christ tells us that we need to wake up, that we can't snooze through life. We can't keep hitting the snooze bar. We've got to get up and experience life. Each and every part of it. The great times, the somewhat sad times, times where we take our kids off to school, times when we see our kids making mistakes, sometimes when we make mistakes, sometimes when we hear from a doctor that we've got a cyst on our spleen, and that 99% of the time when they take that cyst off, it ruptures and it can kill you. And you have to place that back in the doctor's hands. And you got to realize, hope he didn't sleep through that class. Hope he stayed awake. We also get to experience times that we get to see the seasons change. Right now, we're actually getting to experience summer here in northern Illinois. But come October, there'll be somebody wearing a Hawaiian shirt sitting behind Ron Boobin in front of Bob Bateman that will remind me it's all your fault that we live in the northern part of the world and it gets cold. But he will point out to me that it's my fault that it gets cold in Alpha. And then, Dave will remind me that it's my fault that it's snowing in Alpha. And, then Kurt will come by and he'll give me a snowblower that doesn't start. And then I'll, have to get exercise trying to pull it and stuff, And it's kind of a fun thing. But we get to experience that change. But come spring, the grass wakes back up. The flowers wake back up. The trees wake back up. The church wakes back up because it's Easter. Wake up, O sleeper. There's a new day ahead. Scripture tells us, wake up. Enjoy life and everything that it has to hold for you. Please stand and join us in our closing. Gracious Father, as we leave your house today, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and experience you, Lord. Our eyes are wide open, Lord. We've been woke up. We're ready to experience a day. Lord, as we go forth throughout the week, allow us to be the hands and feet in your kingdom as we proclaim that the Savior is risen. In your Son's glory and honorable name, we pray. Amen.